Well, get comfortable, because I got really good news. As somebody was coming in today, they gave me permission, since we're combining both services, that I get to preach twice as long today. Now, all right, as I said that, I really didn't expect boos. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, startle us. Startle us from the ruts of our lives. Startle us from our routines, our habits. Startle us from where we might rest safely and comfortable. Startle us into a story. Your story. A story big enough for our soul. Amen. George Bernard Shaw wrote, "The true joy in life, the true joy is being used for a purpose recognized by yourself as a mighty one." The true joy. He said, "The true joy is being thoroughly spent, being thoroughly used up before your throne on the scrap heap. Being a force of nature, not a selfish, self-centered, feverish little clod of grievances and ailments, complaining that the world's not devoting itself to making you happy." And then he wrote, "Life is no brief candle to me. Rather, it's a splendid torch. A torch that I have hold of for this brief moment in time. And I'm going to make sure that light burns as brightly as possible before I pass it on to future generations." How bright is your torch? How bright is your torch? Today we kick off another church year of ministry and mission. And as I mentioned before, our theme is living a better story. I encountered a teacher over at Bend High on Friday, and I said, "How's it going?" And spontaneously, with a huge grin on his face, as if he actually really meant it, he smiled at me and said, "Living the dream." You know, believe it or not, I actually believed him. Because he said it, yep, just living the dream. And I compare that to a woman I encountered where I tried to be as pleasant as I possibly could, and I said, you know, "Have a nice day." And she scowled at me and said, "I have other plans." Two quite different stories. What story does your life tell? What story is your life telling? I love, there's a Quaker phrase I absolutely love. Parker Palmer wrote a book using this phrase, but it's a Quaker phrase. Let your life speak. Ralph Waldo Emerson. What you are, shout so loudly in my ears, I can't hear what you're saying. What is your life communicating? What is your life shouting to those around you and to the world? But the most important question, is it the story you want being told? You know, I think it's really important every now and then just to stop and reflect and just think, am I living my story well? And that's what we're inviting you to do this year. Am I living my story well? The brochure that was in your bulletin is all about an invitation to reflect, but also the resources, the opportunities to gather together. And how might we be lifted into a better story? As well as we should be asking the question, how does my story impact the stories of all of those around me? You know, sometimes when I think about my own life, I sometimes imagine, you know, if my life were a movie, would I actually go see it? Seems like you just answered that question. And then I was thinking, you know, if I'd actually go see it, my guess is I'd probably walk out of the middle of it in sheer boredom. Helen Keller, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. Is that how you would describe your life? A daring adventure? You know, growing up in northern Minnesota in the back roads, I've shared this sign before, in the back roads, next time I'm home, I have to take a picture of this sign. There's these dirt roads where they took the taconite to Lake Superior, and these trucks created these huge ruts. You know the kind of ruts in dirt roads that swallow cars? I mean, that's where the ruts, and there's a sign just outside my hometown that says, choose your rut carefully. You're going to be in it for the next 50 miles. You know, and sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, I can find myself, in fact, I only know I'm in the rut when I stop to think about it. That somehow you're just kind of in it, and where one day leads to the next day, 1 week to the next week, 1 month to the next month. Where did it all go? Those routines, those habits, those ruts. What is the story of our life? What is our life speaking? You know, I worked, before I worked, there's a, remember the movie You Got Mail? You've Got Mail? Remember the movie? Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Is that Meg Ryan? I always get Meg Ryan. And they were emailing back and forth, but they didn't know each other's identity. And there's one scene where Meg Ryan was typing an email. It seems so archaic now, that movie. But anyway, as I was thinking about it. There's one scene where she's typing, and she types, as I think and reflect about my life. My life seems so small, valuable, but really small. And I'm wondering, is it because I like it? Like that I'm comfortable, she writes? Or is it simply because I haven't been brave? How would you describe your life? Small? Is your life big enough for your soul? I worked early in my life, one of my earlier careers, I worked as a counselor in a treatment center for teenagers. It was a 6-month locked facility. This was where they sent teenagers, and if they failed here, they were going to juvenile detention center. And it was a 6-month, and I was a counselor, and I was thinking about these young teenagers. One of the conclusions I had, they were all experiencing addictions to drugs and alcohol. And I believe that one of the reasons why they were stuck in the story of their addiction is because somehow either no one offered or they weren't able to receive a better story, a more inspiring story, a bigger story. How you see the future determines the choices you make today. If what you see in the future is more of the same, you'll get stuck. What compels us to something more, something bigger? A book I highly recommend, Donald Miller, A Million Miles in 1,000 Years. You got it? Donald Miller, A Million Miles in 1,000 Years. It's a wonderful book, A Million Miles in 1,000 Years. In this book, he tells a story about this father who's struggling with his relationship. He has a troubled relationship with his teenage daughter. And he doesn't know what to do. His daughter is getting in all sorts of trouble, and she's choosing a story, the story of her peers, really. She's choosing a story for herself that he does not believe allows the beauty of her life to speak. And as he was thinking about his daughter and as he was thinking about his own story, he really asked himself the question, what is my story? Can I live a better story? For me, for my family, for the world? And that's the question I want you to ask yourselves. What is your story? Can you live a better story? Well, here's how it goes in that book. Jason is the father, and he has a 13-year-old daughter by the name of Rachel. And Jason and his wife, Annie, were really discouraged. They were down. They didn't know what to do. They were doing what parents probably shouldn't do. They were checking in her room, and they found the marijuana hidden in the closet. She had just been arrested for shoplifting. And she was dating this boy, older boy, that he describes always smelled like smoke. And only would answer their questions in one words. You know, one word answers? Yeah? No? Whatever? Why? That was the one he hated the most. Why? He would say, have her home by 10. This young boy would have the audacity to go, why? Well, Jason and Annie tried what every parent would try. They grounded her. They tried to punish her. They tried to forbid her from seeing this boy. They took away privileges. Nothing worked. In fact, all of those things made it worse. And so Jason was thinking about this, and it occurred to him that his daughter was not living a very good story. In fact, it occurred to him that his daughter was choosing the story that was available to her. The story of her peers. She was choosing the story. Rather than living the unique story that God had planted within her soul, she was choosing this smaller story, the story of her peers. And before we cast judgment, we do that every day. Every day our culture around us seduces us into living its story. Every day there are messages from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed. Here is the story for you. And we're seduced into living a story that's too small for us. Well, Jason was worrying about his daughter and began to realize that as a father, he had done nothing to map for his family, to try to help his family live a more inspiring story, a bigger story. So one night, Jason decided to stop judging his daughter, stop yelling at her. He decided to pray. Not with words, but to just be quiet and to listen for something better. To listen to that whisper in the heart for something bigger. Parker Palmer says, you know, every single person is born with the seed of selfhood. What he means by that is every single person is born with the knowledge, the spiritual DNA of who they are as beloved children of God, as of why we're here. And how we are relate to others. What he says is, I love this. He says, every single one of us is born with that knowledge. We may forget that knowledge, but that knowledge never forgets us. Did you get that? I love that. We may forget in growing up, in the messages of our culture around us, and whatever that happens to us, we may forget who we are as children of God. We may forget why we're here. We may forget how we are related to the rest of the world. But he says that knowledge never ever forgets you. So if you listen, there is a whisper that always invites you into a holy adventure, a better story. So Jason listened, and he stumbled while on the internet across this organization that builds orphanages around the world. And something came to life inside of him. It spoke to something deep, deep inside. It just resonated really deeply. And he thought to himself, maybe my family can build an orphanage. Be a huge risk. It'd be a huge leap. But what a story that would be. What a holy adventure that would be. So he called the organization and he found out that it cost $25,000 to build one of these orphanages. And he's going, we have no money. We took out a second mortgage. Things are tight. But then he realized to live a better story always is a risk. Always is about stepping from where you are to where you might be. So he made the commitment. He made the decision to invite his family into a different story. So he called a family meeting. Now he realized now that it was a huge mistake not to include his wife in this decision. Which said a little bit about the story of their marriage and how the story of their marriage needed to change. But he sat his wife and his daughter down and he told them about this village. He was so excited. He told them about this village and he told them about these children in this village and the things that were happening to them, the awful things that were happening to them and how they were living and how those awful things would continue to happen if they didn't have an orphanage. And then he looked at both of them in the eyes and he said, so we're going to build their orphanage together. Obviously thinking they'd be as excited as he was. And they just stared at him in utter disbelief, as if he totally lost his mind. And as they sat there in silence, he began to wonder himself, has he lost his mind? Well, they got up and walked out. Refused to talk to him. Went to their separate rooms. Now, his wife was rightly pretty upset that she wasn't included in this decision. Jason knew. Here's the thing about different stories. He knew he blew it. He knew he needed to own that. Accept responsibility for that. He needed to ask her forgiveness, which was a completely new script, a script he had never, ever followed throughout his whole life or his marriage. So he was lying in bed with his wife. He acknowledged he was wrong not to include her. But he shared that he felt their lives had become so small. He felt they were only living for themselves. And how he was scared to death that they were losing their daughter to a story that did not speak the beauty that her life really was. So the next day, Jason was washing dishes. And his wife Annie came from behind him and put her arms around him, leaned her head into the back of his neck, and told him how proud she was of him. And he said, those were words that I hadn't heard from Annie in a very, very long time. Again, he acknowledged, you know, I'm so sorry for not including you. And she said, I forgive you. But what's most important now is we have an orphanage to build together. Well, the next week, they're in bed together. And their daughter, Rachel, who avoided them like a plague, never went in their bedroom, came into their bedroom, looked at them and said, would you take all of us to Mexico? They were shocked. And with great enthusiasm, she said, I want to build a website. I want to build a website about the orphanage we're going to build so that I can invite all of my friends to join this adventure, and you can invite your friends to join this adventure. And I want to go to Mexico and meet these children, and I want to take their pictures to put on the website, and I want to get to know these children. They couldn't believe it. It wasn't long after that she broke up with her boyfriend. Jason said she told him that her boyfriend said she was too fat. And Jason said he couldn't believe that he would say such a thing to his beautiful child. And then he said to a girl living a different story, a story where she has now begun to recognize she is one of the heroes of that story, that girl will never allow someone to use her. There is a voice whispering in your heart, calling you to something more, calling you to let your life speak, calling you to a story. I mean, society or culture says, live for yourself. That story's not big enough for you. That story's not big enough for God. That story's not big enough for your soul. You need a bigger story. You know, quite frankly, I think that's what Paul was getting at, and you were wondering, when the heck is he going to get to the Bible? I really think that's what Paul was about in Romans. He was saying, welcome. Did you hear that earlier? He said, welcome everyone. Our sign, all are welcome always. He's not ambiguous about this. Welcome everyone. Then he says something really beautiful. He says, everyone has their own story. Everyone has their own history that they bring to the table. Stop judging each other. Instead, welcome. Lift each other. Encourage each other. Affirm each other to live a better story. And then he points out the ridiculous things, the ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous things we tend to argue about in the church. You know, those things that in the wider scheme of life, the big, big story of God, whether we eat meat or vegetables, Paul's saying, oh, come on. Stop wasting your energy on such small things. There's a bigger story to be part of. And if we think that's ridiculous, you know, think of how much energy churches waste and invest in what's the right kind of music. And think of how often that investment of arguing about this music is better than that music becomes the story of the church. That's the story they're telling. I know a church right now that had a broken sidewalk outside, and it was so in disrepair that people were tripping on it. It wasn't safe. Well, this church is broke. They have no money. They couldn't fix the sidewalk, so two members decided, well, we'll do it. You know that wonderful thing, better to ask for forgiveness than permission. So that week they fixed the sidewalk. They repaired it. And they decided, you know, it's kind of ugly. So they painted it. Have you ever gone in a church and just chosen paint by yourself? Well, unfortunately, the paint didn't quite match the exterior of the building. So when people came to church the next Sunday, they didn't notice that the sidewalk was repaired. They didn't thank the folks for making it safe. The paint didn't match. So the complaints and the complaining and the criticism just started flying. Well, that, the paint, became the dominant story of that church for a year. I'd laugh, but that's all too familiar. It happens too many times in too many places. It happens here. And Paul is saying, stop wasting your energy on those things that are so small, those stories that are so small. Invest your energy on bigger stories. Paul says, if you live, live for the Lord, which means live for something greater than yourself. What story is your life speaking? You know, Parker Palmer says, there is a whisper in every heart calling you to be, no matter how old you are, how young you are, or in between, calling you to be the person you were created to be. Not calling you to be anyone else. Not calling you to be larger than life. Not calling you to be Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King. Calling you to be you. Let the beauty of your life speak. Not just speak, shout. Today, we remember the darkness 10 years ago. We remember how the story of our lives changed. The story of our nation changed. The story of our world changed. But I invite us to remember today, in the reflection of this light, the light of Christ, the light that cannot be overcome, the light that is stronger than darkness. Because this light invites us to have faith and to trust. What happened 10 years ago was not the end of the story. A different story is waiting to be told. You people of faith, you children of God, are the ones that are invited to be part of telling that story. You know, there has been a story that has dominated, a story of hate and violence, a story of vengeance. We are invited to tell a different story, the story of Jesus Christ. That's a story of hope. That's a story of healing. That's a story of peace. That's a story of forgiveness. That's a story of love. So I think one of the best things to do, perhaps, on this anniversary, because it's still dark. It's still dark. Is to turn our hearts and our lives to the light of Christ and renew our commitment to allow that light to shine through the story of our lives, in our families, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our community, throughout the world. The true joy in life is being used for a purpose, recognized by yourself as a mighty one. Life is no brief candle, it's a splendid torch. You have hold of that torch for this brief moment in time. Will you allow it to burn? Will you allow it to shine before you pass it on to future generations? May it be so.